The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle your seatbelts and keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. Here comes Mr. Thrill Ride himself, Eric Metaxas!
Welcome to Monday of Thanksgiving week. Today, according to my calendar, it's the 21st of November. Not to be confused with any other dates, just the 21st of November. Please be sure that you have it right. Alvin, as usual, have a lot to talk about. Real quick, in hour one today, we're talking to our friend Megan Basham. She is so terrific. She's one of the few people, very few people, that have given me real hope, a voice of courage and clarity. And we should have had her on much more. But finally, today, we're going to have her on for the full hour and then some. Coming up in a few moments, but she's a hero. She's a real hero. And in hour two, speaking of heroes, how about John Zmirak? How about that John Zmirak? Everywhere I go, people mispronounce his name. I find it hilarious. Even though I say Zmirak on the program a million times, almost no one says Zmirak. I don't know what they say, but I find it very funny. But people routinely tell me how much they love him, and they're crazy. Yeah. Oh, they're crazy.
How can you not? How can you not?
Well, there are a few people that aren't fond of him, but that's, I'll say that's their issue. Listen, a couple of things that I want to say. Here's the most important thing I want to say right now. We get a lot of letters and emails coming in, and we try to respond to some of them. We do Ask Metaxas and whatever. And I think the other day, I don't know. It wasn't long ago. It was like a week or so ago, or 10 days ago, 11 days ago. I was in a particularly bad mood. Now, I confess that when you say you're in a bad mood, so you said something unkind, that is a reason. It's not an excuse. There's no excuse, right? But I just want to say that there are days that I feel very crabby or peaked or something. And the day a woman wrote in, I think it was a woman, I'm not sure, initial CM, but someone wrote in expressing really being troubled over some of my bumper music, right? And that's the kind of thing that normally would set me off, and I get instantly crabby and grumpy, and I did that day, and I think it was regarding a David Cassidy song, One Night. The title is One Night Stand. So it probably came out in 1970. And it's this kind of bubblegummy thing. But of course, listening to it today, the implication is not so good. It's not so it's not a healthy implication that he's this rock and roller going on these one night stands. It wasn't really meant that way, but it was probably meant to be double edged in that cheeky way that, you know, entertainment does it, to try to have it both ways and stuff. And so the person, again, I'm assuming it's a woman, but who wrote this was really just expressing her concern that that's not a good message to sending out. And I, as I am wont to do, you could just ask my family or friends, that I was kind of cynical or sarcastic in my response, which was not really nice. And so I have to apologize because that it just wasn't right. And I want to say that in case there's anyone out there who's deeply confused about whether I'm perfect or not, let me tell you, I make mistakes and I have to apologize. So I apologize because it really was, I remember just being in the worst mood that day, and I ought to have checked myself. Look, it's a lesson for all of us, right? It's hard. Your emotions, you know, often really get the better of you. But regarding some of the bumper music, I did want to make a statement, and there's never really enough time, but that One thing that's interesting to me, as I listen to a lot of the music that I like from the 70s, I'm going on a run in Central Park, whatever, and I'm listening to something, whether it's Bob Seger, you know, We've Got Tonight, Who Needs Tomorrow, Let's Make It Last, Babe, Let's Find a Way, right? We have to understand that in many cases, and this is, of course, the situation with what we call art, you're expressing something that is real and true, but it's not necessarily advocating for it. In other words, there's something sad about somebody who's just, and I see all of that kind of stuff as a longing for God, because these people know that they're unhappy and they think that one person or something will fulfill them. And so they kind of express, so there are different ways you can express it. Obviously, David Cassidy, it's just this bubblegum, you know, kind of poppy, kind of super poppy kind of thing. And then there's Bob Seger and a million other songs that describe things that we would say, well, that's bad behavior. But sometimes they describe it in a way that glorifies the bad behavior. And other times they describe it in a way that I think is an honest commentary saying, this is not good. This is, there's something sad or tragic or a lot of times the artist is in a sense saying, I don't know what to make of this. This is the mystery of existence, that we're lost. We're looking for something. And so, but I did want to apologize to that person for my, for my answer. When somebody writes in, they deserve better than that. And so I really do want to say, I'm sorry. And I also want to say that it's interesting because I often don't listen to lyrics. Like growing up, listening to all this music that we have on the bar, I process, it seems ironic because I'm an author and I write poetry, I write together, but I often just listen to the sound and not really listening to the words very carefully. And other people process stuff by listening to words. So I just say that to clarify. Sometimes some of the music we play in here, I just play because I think it's funny or crazy, but obviously we're not like advocating for whatever is being mentioned. Okay. So in any case,
at least you didn't play "I Gotcha" by Joe Tex. That's a bad one.
I don't know what
stalking.
That is. I'm glad I don't know what that is. There's a lot of terrible stuff. And sometimes I'm listening to it, you know, 40 years after I first heard it, and I think, what are they saying? That's awful. Yeah. But I guess I'm in my own mocking way, mocking the lyrics by playing it. But that's, maybe that gets complicated sometimes. All right. Listen, I want to say this. Did I mention I was sorry? Okay. I want to say Socrates in the City is December 6th with Oz Guinness. I am now reading the book that I'm going to interview him on, which I've read in the past, but oh my gosh. But I want to say this. Some donor offered us a donation to Socrates in the City and said that I want more people there. Some people can't afford the prices that you put out. And by the way, we're losing money no matter, you know, we're not, these are, it's an expensive club. The whole thing's expensive. But I wanted to offer it. I can only offer it to the radio listeners because if I put this out in an email, we'll get overwhelmed. There's only a limited number of tickets, 25% off. So if you go to SocratesInTheCity.com, use the code VIP25. And again, you can share this with anyone you want, but I can only say this on this radio program because there's a limited number of tickets. I can't put it out on my email and I won't. But it's, if you use the code VIP25, a limited number of tickets, thanks to a friend, are available at 25% off. VIP25, Socrates in the City. That's the discount. And I want to say, there are a limited amount of those. So if you want that VIP25, jump on that. And number two, I do want to say that these are expensive events because we film them and it is a big kind of, it's a big deal. I wish we could do them less expensively, but I have foregone any fee or anything. I used to get a fee when we would do these things and we're just trying to make it work. But just so you know, also I want to say, oh my gosh, we got an email this morning from the people at Nutramedics.
Yes.
We have had 25% off with the code Eric this month. They said for the rest of the month, which is only about, 10 days, 35% off. Folks, trust me, that doesn't get better than that. I don't know why they're doing this, but I said, we better get this on the air this morning, Monday, 35% off if you use the code Eric at Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. Don't miss it. We are going to, if you're not on my email list, that's ericmetaxas.com, sign up. I've done a lot of engagements recently. We're trying to put them out so you can watch them. I did an extraordinary event at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. I did an amazing event in Engle at Brave Church in Englewood, Colorado. Really some good stuff. And the best way to get it, obviously, is go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter. Okay, when we come back, the amazing, heroic Megan Basham, and after that, the amazing, heroic John Smirak.
Seasons crying, no despair, alligator lizards in the air.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
It's hard to grasp why anyone would keep voting for record inflation, skyrocketing crime, and an open border. Likewise, why would anyone keep funding the left by sticking with the big carriers? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they want to make it easy for you to try their service. Give them 60 days to show you why I trust them. Right now, when you try Patriot Mobile for 2 months, get your third month free, plus get free activation. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks and use the same towers as all three of the major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Eric or call their 100% U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. If you're fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values, support a company that does. Make the switch today and get a free month of service plus free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Eric. That's PatriotMobile.com/Eric or call 972-PATRIOT. Welcome back. As I promised, my guest for this hour is Megan Basham. Megan, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
It's great to have you. Listen, in case people want to find you, Daily Wire, Morning Wire podcast, and if they can just spell Megan Basham, they'll find you because there are not that many Megan Bashams out there.
There's not. I think there's like one, you know, somewhere in Texas who doesn't get into any trouble like I do. So
right. And you and I saw each other at Liberty University with our friend Ryan Helfenbein, and we were talking, and I thought we have got to get you on ASAP. I would have loved to do it before now, but at least you're here today, and I want to talk to you about everything. So where do we begin? What's on your mind?
Well, you know, one of the big topics I'm tracking right now, and I think we're all talking about it, is what's happening with the very misnamed Respect for Marriage Act. I call it the Disrespect for Marriage Act. So essentially what this is a bill in the Senate that enshrines same-sex marriage into law legislatively. And of course, we know that it has been the law of the land since 2015, since the Obergefell decision came down from SCOTUS. But there were possibilities that it could be overturned based on the Dobbs ruling. So what we saw in that case was that, yes, the justices ruled that Roe v. Wade should be overturned because it was bad precedent. It wasn't grounded in the Constitution. They said it did not apply to the Obergefell ruling, but Justice Clarence Thomas, my personal favorite justice, wrote a concurrence in which he argued that point. He basically said, look, if Roe should be overturned with Dobbs, there's no precedent for having Obergefell. So what we're seeing now is the Senate trying to sort of fix that gap legislatively. And it's a very aggressive bill. And to everyone's shock, 12 Republican senators joined that bill in order to advance it to the floor.
I'm looking for the technical term, bums, actually probably it's senators. Who are the Republican senators who would have done that? Now, the reason I say this, folks, is because what Megan and I are talking about is law. Doesn't matter your opinion of homosexuality, of gay rights, that's aside. We're talking about the law. We're talking about religious liberty. We're talking about the Constitution. So the idea that 12 Republican senators would err on the side that seems to me against religious liberty, it is shocking, but it becomes less shocking because more and more Republicans reveal themselves to be at least unthinking. I don't know if they're consciously evil or where their ignorance comes from, but they don't seem to understand what's at stake. And I guess we have expected them to do that.
Right. And, you know, some of these senators were the usual suspects that you would expect to have crossed the aisle. And again, they needed 60 to get over the filibuster hurdle. So the Democrats could not have done this on their own. They needed 10 Republicans to make it happen. They actually got 12. So we saw people like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. That is no surprise. Susan Collins of Maine, again, no surprise. But then there were some shocking people in that mix. And like that included Roy Blunt of Missouri. If you're not familiar with Roy Blunt, he is retiring. And I think that's part of the reason he felt bold enough to take this vote. But he is widely known as a very conservative senator. He is a practicing Southern Baptist. He served as the president of a small Southern Baptist university for 3 years. So for him to concede on the issue of biblical marriage, what marriage is, because this isn't a question of how the United States defines marriage. This is one of those foundational questions that biblically is decided what marriage is. And so for someone with that background to have departed from not just traditional perspective, but biblical perspective was pretty shocking to some people. So at that point, where we're arguing is the fact that they are saying that, look, we add some religious liberty protections in this. But if you talk to experts, people like the Alliance Defending Freedom, Heritage, a number of legal organizations where conservatives are talking about what kind of protections are there, they're saying this is a fig leaf. I mean, I think Kristen Wagoner at the Alliance Defending Freedom said it's hogwash that this in any way protects religious freedom.
And so, I want to be clear, that's the point, folks. Again, you could be in favor of same-sex marriage. I'm not, but I'm saying that even if you are, the issue here is what about those who disagree because of their faith? What's going to happen to them? And that is what people have been talking about way before Obergefell. This was the question. People said, if we say that you can have same-sex marriage, if we say that, it's going to cause problems for people who dissent on religious grounds, which is their right. And that is, again, coming up. It doesn't make any sense to me that somebody like Blunt would not get that. It's just mystifying to me.
Right. And I think that we need to talk about what specifically that will look like if those protections aren't in place. Now, you have other senators like Senator Mike Lee of Utah, who did not sign on to this. He said, I tried to attach my own amendment to this bill that would have put those religious protections in place. It would have specifically said that you cannot strip religious institutions and nonprofits of their tax-exempt status, that you cannot deny, say, religious schools federal funding that other secular schools would get based on their beliefs about sexuality and marriage. And he said, I don't know why, if they're so interested in protecting religious freedom, they rejected that amendment. Right. So that's really noteworthy. Right. And those are the things that we're talking about here. We're talking about essentially what some people at Heritage have told me is that this is going to open the floodgates for lawsuits to come at religious people, religious individuals, religious schools, religious nonprofits. There is a bare protection for churches only to not perform same-sex weddings. But the idea that that is all that our faith requires of us when it comes to this question of marriage is laughable.
Well, look, folks, this is horrifying, and people have been warning about this for a long time. The great Chuck Colson, I refer to him in my book, Letter to the American Church. He saw this coming and created this thing called the Manhattan Declaration, because he saw that this is ultimately about the demonization of people who hold biblical values. I mean, including Muslims, religious Jews. If you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman for life, not only are you being told, well, we disagree with you, you're being told now that because it's the law of the land, people can come after you. I'm really just astonished, Megan, that 12 Republicans didn't seem to understand how, I mean, look, I would think that there would be Democrats who would understand this as well, but let's just focus on the Republicans. How is it possible that somebody like Mitt Romney would not understand this? Do they not care whether Christians or people with biblical values are being demonized? Because that's how it reads to me.
Right. And, you know, it is interesting to note that the Church of Latter-day Saints did come out with a statement basically saying, okay, we're going to sign on to this bill. But the U.S. Catholic bishops did not. The Southern Baptist lobbying arm, the ERLC, did not. And a lot of other religious groups did not. And I think the reason is that they see the writing on the wall. And you ask the question, how could they sign on? Well, I think that's also a question of seeing the writing on the wall. I think you have some people who are trying to reposition themselves as being on what they would call the right side of history on this, so that they avoid persecution, they avoid oppression, they avoid any type of punitive acts from the left, is what I think you're seeing.
That is actually so horrifying and so ugly. It is the face of cowardice, folks. Again, not to refer always to my book, but in my book, Letter to the American Church, I talk about the 12,000 pastors in Germany who chose to be silent, in a sense, worried that they would be on the quote unquote wrong side of history. And they said, we don't want to get in trouble, so we're just going to be silent. We're just going to go along with what is happening, not showing any courage, and therefore, of course, guaranteeing that these evil things would happen. And it seems like Romney and others, they really don't care. And this is a big deal what we're talking about. Did you write about this? Is there an article that's posted that you wrote where you wrote about this?
I did, and it's not posted yet. So hopefully that will be out later today, because, you know, one of the things I particularly explored in that article was the degree to which religious institutions, you're talking about cowardice, and well-known evangelical pundits have, in a way, given aid and comfort to this effort. Part of what I looked at was that Christianity Today has only one article out right now about the RMA, as it's known. And it is positive. It calls it a good day's work. And I think that stunned a lot of people. So we're seeing a lot of things like that.
If you still think Christianity Today is theologically orthodox, that's the heartbreaker. They have just gone dramatically leftward, and it's very sad. We'll be right back, folks, talking to Megan Basham. Don't go away. Let's make a compromise. It's cold outside. Tell me, Eric, why is Relief Factor so successful at lowering or eliminating pain? I'm often asked that question. The owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. So the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients. Each helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. And that right there, approaching from four different angles, may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. So if you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start, discounted to only $19.95, to see if it will work for you. It works for me. It has for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Megan Basham. You can find her at Daily Wire. And Megan, so let's keep going. We're talking about something that just happened thanks to these horrifically feckless Republican senators, 12 of them, God help us. What has been the reaction of some evangelicals? Now, by the way, the fact that you mentioned the Southern Baptists and the U.S. Catholic bishops dissented, said this was not good. That alone is amazing news, because the U.S. Catholic bishops have been incredibly pathetic on a number of things. On this, they did it right. I'm thrilled to hear that. But what has been the word out there in the rest of evangelicalism?
Well, I think there's been a lot of shock over, in particular, that David French piece. I assume your audience is probably pretty familiar with David French, but if you're not, he is a well-known evangelical pundit. He writes at The Atlantic. He, you know, has his own publication called The Dispatch that he publishes with some other Never Trumpers. And he put out a piece yesterday that is shocking a lot of people. Not only did he defend the Respect for Marriage Act, the Disrespect for Marriage Act, but what he did in this piece was essentially say, I have evolved on marriage. And he made the argument that he still personally, from a religious perspective, believes that marriage is between one man and one woman, but he no longer believes that there is any reason in law to limit marriage to a man and woman, and basically said, I have changed my views legally. And the reason that's important is because I'm just going to lay out my opinion, and I understand that there are different opinions, but the reason that we have marriage as a state-recognized institution at all is not because the state needs to be in the business of blessing affection between individuals. The purpose of the state recognizing marriage is because it is the institution in which, with a man and a woman, children are produced, and it provides the best rearing for children, the best development for children. I mean, we could go into study after study. So it was interesting that David French did not deal with that at all in this piece. He just sort of made the argument that you hear from ostensibly Catholic politicians like Joe Biden, like Nancy Pelosi, saying, I am personally pro-life, but I am not going to seek to defend my pro-life views in law in any way. And so it's sort of astonishing for a Christian and a really well-known Christian who speaks on religious legal issues frequently to say, I'm not going to argue anymore that marriage between a man and a woman, God's design for marriage, has any real value in American law. So I think that's what a lot of people are talking about, that the evolution was a little stunning.
Well, there are a few things going on here. First of all, David French and other Never Trumpers, I really have watched all of them slide on everything. It's almost predictable that they seem to more and more and more ally themselves with those who are theologically liberal, people with whom they would have disagreed, you know, before Bad Orange Man came down the escalator. So it's kind of interesting to see this drift leftward. But there's a couple of issues here. First of all, I want to be clear again. It's one thing to personally believe that marriage is between a man and a woman for life. That's the biblical view, right? Okay. So it's another thing to say that we could deal with that being messed with. In other words, if we have same-sex marriage in our laws, it's not going to hurt anybody. There are people who believe that. But then there's the issue of religious liberty. And the reason so many people oppose same-sex marriage wasn't just because they believed that there can be no such thing, but that they said once this becomes law, they're going to come after those who disagree. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. So when somebody like David French says that his views have evolved, he seems to be saying that, yes, legally, I side with those who would demonize this being established in our laws. I side with those who would demonize those who disagree with this, who will not in their Christian school or whatever institution in their businesses, that they will not go along with this. So it seems to me that somebody like David French would side against Jack Phillips of the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado, that he would say you need to stuff it. I mean, it sounds like that from where we're from what you're saying.
I mean, he's saying he doesn't. He's saying that he believes the legal protections are there for a Jack Phillips, except that we have seen Jack Phillips be harassed for years and years on end now. So I would argue, I don't know how robust those legal protections are. And at the same time, he doesn't seem to recognize that, look, this touches nonprofits in a very specific way. You could look at Christian adoption agencies, for instance. If they believe that a man and a woman is the best environment for raising children and want to limit their services to adopting children out to heterosexual couples, they should have that right. And this throws that into jeopardy. And he didn't really acknowledge or treat with that issue at all. And I think we also have to acknowledge that in a pluralistic society, there's a lot of options. There's really no reason to go after Catholic adoption agencies because they want to limit their services to the biblical definition of marriage. You know, just like Jack Phillips, there's a lot of options for where you can get your cake baked. So why then do we have this onslaught of lawsuits and harassment of Christian individuals? And basically what the Respect for Marriage Act is going to do is going to bolster those efforts. And I think that's where you're seeing just the astonishment that people like David French can be so naive.
Well, that's, yeah, it seems to be willful naivete on the parts of people like David French, Christianity Today. Folks, we're talking to Megan Basham. You can find her at Daily Wire or Morning Wire podcast. We'll be right back.
Well, it's all right.
With the overturn of Roe v. Wade, lots of companies are coming out saying they'll pay for employee abortion travel and expenses. Most of you have heard about some of these companies. You've decided to stop shopping or doing business there. But did you know that you most likely own stock in those companies through your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts? Folks, this is a huge problem, and we need to do something about this to send a message to Wall Street through our investments. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric and get a free Inspire Impact Report. This biblical investment analysis will educate you on what's really in your investment accounts, like companies paying for abortion travel. You need to go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric to connect with an Inspire Advisors financial professional who can run your report and help remove companies paying for abortion travel today. Go to InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. That's InspireAdvisors.com/Eric. Advisory services are offered through Inspire Advisors LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Hey, folks, you've all helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. So right now, MyPillow is offering exclusive offers on their bed sheets, their six-piece towel set, and even offering an extended 60-day money-back guarantee. Orders placed now through December 25th will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. Believe me when I say you'll get a great night's sleep. Their six-piece towel set is made with USA cotton. It comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Typically retails at $89.98, now just $39.98 with promo code ERIC. Limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-978-3057, 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square, use promo code ERIC. These offers will not last long. They're known to sell quickly, so order now with promo code ERIC at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC.
Look out, it comes tomorrow, that's when
folks, welcome back to Talking to Megan Basham. Megan, there's a lot to talk about here. I want to talk about Trump and Twitter. You've got some thoughts on that. I've got some thoughts on that. But just to finish up on this, really what I see as the caving of many evangelicals, and I really do think that it stems from the Trump derangement syndrome. Something happened in 2016. Mm-hmm. I was myself completely blindsided. I thought, look, I don't care what you think of this guy. He's the Republican nominee. He, like John McCain, like Mitt Romney, will ostensibly appoint conservative justices, people who believe in the Constitution. You know, that's how we make our decisions. But something about Trump really seems to have unhinged people, and they seem now to be unmoored. They've been unmoored for a number of years. And as the balloon floats across the landscape, they're drifting ever leftward to California and eventually south to Venezuela, it looks like, as they become completely really freed from what we would consider the most basic theological assumptions about what is right and wrong, what is biblical. And, you know, it's not like the Constitution is unrelated to that. And we functioned as a society for a long time. So it is a very troubling thing suddenly to see people we thought of as conservative, people we thought of as theologically orthodox, for them really to side with people who I think some of whom mean to bring harm to those of us who have biblical views.
Well, I think, you know, you just hit on that in that last segment. If it were just this sort of debate over the Respect for Marriage Act, I think people would be maybe a little more willing to grant good intentions, best intentions, but that's not the only place we're seeing it. There's been a lot of evolution on a lot of other issues as well. It's been sort of surprising to me to see some of these well-regarded evangelical figures suddenly not celebrating the overturning of Roe in a way that we would have expected, and saying things like, well, look, we want to end abortion, but the Bible doesn't tell us how to end abortion. It may not necessarily mean voting for pro-life candidates and policies. That was really astonishing to me. We've seen evolution, for example, from David French on this question of equal opportunity for all races. And that one really surprised me. That has been such a bedrock of conservatism, particularly from people like Thomas Sowell, for decades and decades. And so to see the overturning of that, saying, well, listen, I've evolved on my thinking that everyone should be treated equally under the law and be given equal opportunity, that we don't falsely and artificially try to establish a basis for some races to get advancement in college, or we don't set up departments so that we start hiring people on the basis of their skin color. So I think all of these departures from what was traditional conservatism, traditional evangelical Christian views, has been really shocking to a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, again, what happened to Christianity today is astonishing to me. I almost never respond in essay form, but Russell Moore wrote a piece, this is like back in April around Easter, that was such an obvious demonization of like Trump evangelicals, but it was in this highfalutin language. You know, he's quoting James Davison Hunter and stuff, but basically demonizing people and somehow making it sound like this is a gospel value to demonize, you know, these working class whites. And Christianity Today was once a wonderful magazine. To me, it's kind of like the New York Times and a lot of magazines, periodicals, that they've effectively ceased to exist as something that one can take seriously. So it's sad, but I do think that to have this happening, people need to just be aware, ladies and gentlemen. The reason we're talking about this is that this is not a small thing. I will go so far as to say that the way they very slowly came for certain groups in Nazi Germany, they started slowly to demonize views, then to demonize the people. This is troubling from whatever your views are on these issues. Legally speaking, this is very, very troubling. Let's turn to something really cheerful, like the return of the bad orange man to Twitter. Can you imagine that in a society like this, we would allow a monster, a man who fomented insurrection. I don't know how many senators were killed that day. It was a terrible day. And that he's back on Twitter. So what do you say?
Well, I'm actually waiting for him to come back on Twitter. So his account is back. The last time I checked, he is not back.
Correct. Now we're taping this in the middle of the day.
So I'm
on
watching.
Monday, but he's probably thinking, I'm going to wait before I send my first tweet. Like I'm just going to make him wait and wait. That's classic drama with Trump, that he's very smart. He's thinking, I want my first tweet to be a doozy, you know? So it's almost funny to me that he's officially reinstated and he hasn't tweeted yet.
Well, and part of why I like it is it's been sort of fun to watch people, because the account is now there again, and you can see the tweets from, gosh, almost 2 years ago now. And people are looking at them again. And suddenly you're hearing a conversation of people going, wait a minute, this isn't inciting an insurrection. These last couple of tweets that he made before he was banned are calling for peace. They're calling for respecting law enforcement. And so it's really been kind of fascinating to me to see people sort of forgot what those tweets were that supposedly got them banned. And now that they're seeing them and they're going, well, this doesn't seem like something that in any way was intended to incite violence, quite the opposite. So I've enjoyed seeing that.
Actually, you know, it would be a little bit like Trump, and it would be brilliant, absolutely brilliant, if he chose not to tweet, at least for a very long time. Like I just love the idea of people losing their everlasting minds. People like, you know, the usual suspects, Bette Midler and the other great actresses from Hocus Pocus. You know, it's almost hilarious to me that they're losing their minds that he was reinstated and that he hasn't tweeted yet. I think my advice to him would be, Mr. President, do not tweet for as long as possible. Just let it, just let people go crazy. And also it does cause you to read, as you just said, his previous tweets, some of which I have to say, we're going to break here, folks. They are hilarious. There are some, there was an article, I think at Revolver News, I can't remember, but it a level of humor that is unbelievable. Maybe only Abraham Lincoln was as funny. There are certain people that just have a knack for humor. Some of Trump's tweets are screamingly funny. In any event, we'll be right back with Megan Basham. Don't go away.
Please tell us why you had to hide away for so long.
Folks, in hour two, we have our divisive friend John Zmierak on the program. I told you, if you're bad, we're going to punish you. We're going to bring John Zmierak on the program. And some of you have been very, very bad indeed. But right now we talk to Megan Basham. Megan, let's keep going. So Elon, I don't know if I said this on Twitter, but I thought to myself, it's kind of funny that Elon Musk like took a poll, right? Because he's just playing games himself. He's very smart, because who cares what people think? The fact of the matter is, it's correct to bring back anybody on the, you know, anybody who wants a place on the platform. But he does this thing. He goes through the Kabuki theater of asking people their opinion, and everybody says, yes, Trump should be brought back, and he brings him back.
Yeah, I love that. I loved just watching Elon Musk since he's taken over. I mean, I have to say it's kind of terrible because I have work I need to get done and I keep checking Twitter to see what Elon Musk is saying, because he does have, let's say, a fairly Trumpian quality where he really knows how to goad the media. And that is maybe the most enjoyable part of his big Twitter takeover. You know, part of what he's done in addition to taking that poll is he posted that picture with him carrying the kitchen sink in, which was a reference to, look, we're throwing everything at this major transformation we're going to be seeing at Twitter. And the reaction to that has been just hand-wringing, gnashing of teeth. CBS announced that they were going to suspend their activity out of an abundance of caution. I don't really know what that meant. Like, what did they think was going to happen to their news organization by tweeting? But what was hilarious was it lasted all of, I think, about a day and a half.
As if anyone cares to follow CBS News on Twitter.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I just don't see that.
Well, and it was great when, like, a day and a half later when they were back, Elon Musk posted some Brokeback Mountain meme saying that they can't quit him, which was pretty hilarious. And so he's just routinely done that sort of thing. But as the media has been demonizing him, what's flying under the radar is he is actually accomplishing with a third of the previous staff that Twitter had. He gutted the place, basically told everyone, if you're not willing to work, then you can leave. And a lot of them did. A lot were fired. But what's been great about it is he has actually accomplished some really phenomenal things, one of which is getting rid of, and this is really important, the top three hashtags that have been used to traffic child pornography. So that was something that Twitter could have done in all of these years before Elon Musk took over. And for whatever reason, they did not make it a priority. So now you have sex abuse activists saying, this is tremendous. Elon Musk, within a matter of a couple of weeks, has come in and wiped out the top trending hashtags that are used by criminals and perverts to seek out child pornography. So I think that's a huge thing to celebrate.
How is it possible that Twitter did not do that before Elon Musk? I am a little bit astonished.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's one that news outlets like CBS might be asking if they weren't so upset about Elon Musk doing things like allowing free speech to flourish and allowing former presidents and presidential candidates to come on their website and actually doing the job that the news media should be doing, and that is fostering robust public debate. They're not doing that. Elon Musk is.
Well, look, we have to be clear, and we'll keep you over into hour two before we get to John Smirak so we can continue this conversation. But we have to be clear, folks. When people, whether it's Trump derangement syndrome, whatever you want to call it, when they want to focus on that, they are enabling satanic evil, like the trafficking of children. The idea that CBS would not be talking about this, the idea that somebody's not talking about this, they clearly don't care or are so blinded as to act as though they actually don't care about children being trafficked for sexual abuse. It's so wicked. It's hard to conceive of. In any event, we'll be right back in hour two with Megan Bascham. Don't go away.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.